Bibles, you want to turn with me, please, to Matthew, the fifth chapter, beginning that chapter. I want to tell you about a new restaurant that was coming to town. Everyone got excited about the building going up, and the sign looked great. People were very optimistic about the great food. The atmosphere was great. The food, not so good. A great dining experience really comes down to those two things, food and atmosphere. It's all about what you see and what you taste. And several weeks ago, we went to Raleigh, North Carolina, and our goal is always to eat at those restaurants and those chains that we do not have here in Havelock or in the Carteret Craven County. So we went to a place called the Cheesecake Factory. Now, it did not disappoint. The food, the atmosphere, both were great. The service, and of course, what I liked, the presentation, they were all great as well. The contrast is startling between one restaurant and another. And every restaurant should strive to create that kind of food quality and that atmosphere that will want people to come back again and again. This is similar to what I said the first week that I started the I Love My Church series. Jesus has given us new lives without fences. Lives that are a part of the community he is creating with all of us as we come to Cherry Point Baptist Church. This life and this church is the community of faith that is identified truly as your church and my church, Cherry Point Baptist Church. It's part of the kingdom of God. It is life as it was meant to be, giving us a new identity and a new set of values and a new set of ethics for us to live by as Christians following God's word. And as such, we concluded the first week that our reputation as people of this community should be one of love. God wants all people to know that this life of salvation, forgiveness, purpose, healing, meaning, and hope is for every person. And we do this, I said in the first week, by knocking down those fences and allowing people to know that we love each other with all of our warts and everything. We also find that, like the food and the atmosphere of a good restaurant, we should strive to have the same thing as a church, that we should reflect the values and the morals and the conduct and all that God wants us to do as a church, in the church and outside the church. Not as the world thinks, but as God thinks. I think here are some questions we need to consider in thinking about this. How do people come to this new life with God? How do people hear and discover? How do they experience the kingdom of God? Well, I think we'll find in Matthew, the fifth chapter, some answers to this. If you're able, would you please stand as we read God's word together? And I will begin with Matthew, and I'm going to read from beginning with verse 1, and I'll conclude with 16. And when he saw the multitudes, he went up on the mountain, and after he sat down, his disciples came to see him. After opening his mouth, he began to teach them, saying, "Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are those who mourn, for they shall be comforted. Blessed are the gentle, for they shall inherit the earth. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they shall be satisfied. Blessed are the merciful, for they shall receive mercy. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called sons of God. Blessed are those who have been persecuted for the sake of righteousness, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are you when men cast insults at you and persecute you and say all kinds of evil against you falsely on account of me. Rejoice and be glad, for your reward in heaven is great, for so they persecuted the prophets who were before you. You are the salt of the earth. But if the salt has become tasteless, how will it be made salty again? It is good for nothing anymore except to be thrown out and trampled underfoot by men. You are the light of the world. A city set on a hill cannot be hidden. Nor do men light a lamp and put it under the peck measure, but on the lampstand, and it gives light to all who are in the house. Let your light shine before men in such a way that they may see your good works and glorify your Father who is in heaven. May God give his blessing to the reading of his word, and you may be seated. You see, God entrusts us to recreate the kingdom experience by building a reputation for loving each other, loving others, and serving all of God's people. For it says in the scripture, "Are the salt of the earth," and salt brings taste. If you ever go to some place and the meal is kind of tasteless, the first thing people ask for is, "Pass the salt, please, to give it some taste." The other thing that salt does is it also preserves. So we see that this salt is really important for everyone. Salt gives us that added something that you can't get anywhere else. His word makes it clear how necessary and important we are for the welfare of the world, we Christians. How we're supposed to be that salt. We're supposed to give it that difference, something extra that people want. Because we have experienced a transformation in our lives, and because our presence in the world is necessary as God's means of influencing the world for good. Regardless of our status or our profession or whatever we do, the kingdom life that we possess is invaluable and will affect our circles of influence if we let it. The Bible also says that you are the light of the world. In Jesus' time, they had small wicker oil lamps, as you know, which gave very little light. In the average home, they had very few windows. These little lights on these little wick stands, they were best if they were set high on a lampstand because it would show more light throughout this darkness. We find that light removes the darkness. In the same way that Jesus' life and message of salvation brought light to us, light removes the darkness from others as well. And we are part of that light. As salt and light, we bring the taste and atmosphere of Jesus' kingdom to our world. If food and atmosphere equal an experience, a good experience in a restaurant, then the experience of the kingdom comes from those of us who claim to be his followers, who add that salt and light to their dark world, to their tasteless world, to a world that has no meaning. We are to bring the taste. We are to bring the light. And we are to create an atmosphere of love. We are to create an atmosphere of salvation and an atmosphere of hope for all people. This church and every church is tasked with creating an atmosphere while building a reputation of people who love each other, who love others, and who desire to serve people in our community, all people, no matter who they are. And the reason we do this is for a higher good. It's because we want them to be introduced to the salt and light in our lives. We want them to experience the same thing we've experienced in Christ Jesus. You see, saying I love my church isn't just about us. It's about everyone outside the walls of this church as well. So how do we bring this I love my church experience to the town in which we live and to our circles of influence? I will tell you that the first thing, people will experience Jesus' community when we live its values. We can't separate Matthew 5, 2 through 12 from 5, 13 through 16. The Beatitudes are not an intro. And the salt and light part really begins the sermon. You see, he tells us who they are. And then in verse 13, he starts the challenge. You are the salt. You are the light. You're supposed to go out. You change your community. It's very direct, very precise. It is an encouragement to all of us that we must rise up because of what God has done in our lives, and we are to be that salt and light. We can't separate these scriptures. It really is a part of the same. They are part of the same thought. The salt and light metaphors that we see in this scripture come out of the Beatitudes. Jesus has brought the kingdom of God through the regeneration by the renewal of the Spirit. In essence, he transforms us. The Spirit produces in us the strength of spirit, meekness, righteousness, mercy, peace, and purity. These are the characteristics of Jesus' disciples that allow us to establish his kingdom in our place. This is the kingdom life that God puts in us that we can demonstrate to a dark and dying world. The Beatitudes are a character profile of a person of who a person is, who says, "I love my church." So seasoning and shining isn't the only message we declare with our lips. You see, it's really about how we go about living our life. It's about our lifestyle. The lifestyle is really the emphasis of this morning's sermon. Being salt and light, it's about the message we declare with our actions, with our works, and our reactions to everything in between. We cannot separate the message from the lifestyle. It doesn't add up. Think, this is about who we are and what we believe. It's about how we want to influence those around us. The values in you as you live the kingdom bring flavor to a bland, rotting world. The values in you as you live the kingdom bring light to a world of darkness. And people experience the kingdom because of your lampstand, higher and higher as people see this light in the darkness in which they live. It is very important for us to understand that that metaphor of salt and light is a challenge to us. It is a charge to us. It tells us what we are to be in this world and how we're to change our community, how we're to change our homes, how we're to change our co-workers, how we're to change anything. If we become all that God wants us to be and we reflect the light of God and we give off that salt of salvation, these people will be running to our church. These people will be wanting something different. I don't know about you, but I don't know too many people that are satisfied with the way the world's going. I don't know too many people that are satisfied with the values and morals of the world. I don't know too many people that say they feel really safe in certain parts of our country. I don't know many people that say that things are better without the church. Most people want that empty place in their life to be filled with something of purpose. And it's the salt and light lived out in the lives of believers that changes people and offers them a different hope. We find that people will experience Jesus, his community, when we live out the gospel in our daily lives. Let me give you an example of seasoning and shining from an email that was shared with me. This young girl was moving back to her town. And when she moved back, she told this friend, "I was able to start back at my old job. Many of the servers and employees were surprised to see me. Nonetheless, I was able to get back to working about a week ago. And one of my first days there, I could tell something was on this young lady's mind. And in the midst of having a slow night, I asked her, 'How's your family doing?' Well, immediately she erupted, telling them her troubles about her daughter, how she left home and this mother was afraid. And this young lady simply said, 'I shared my testimony about how my mom and I didn't speak for a time and how God healed that throughout the years. How God healed it as a result of me finding God. And as when I found God, our relationship started to grow.' This young lady mentioned to me she'd like to go to church but hasn't gone yet. I encouraged her and said that God changed me and that God cares about our relationships. She got my number, and I'm leaving the door open to share more." She continued, "Over the past 2 days, the servers lately have been cranky and gossiping and arguing with management during work. And I won't gossip. And I respect management there regardless of how I think they should do things. They know that I'm a faith-based girl. However, the gossip became so bad that the management called a meeting, explaining how a customer had overheard their gossiping and arguing. I just kept on encouraging the management, telling them they are doing a good job, sharing with the employees that we are a team and we need to fight like a team and serve like a team and work like a team. So that same night, I was helping out in the kitchen, putting away dishes even though I didn't have to. One of the dishwashers said, 'You know, you're a good worker. I always see you in here helping people out, and you don't have to.' I said to him, 'I'm working for the Lord.' He smiled and said, 'All the other servers come back here and complain. But I can tell You are believing that and acting on the fact that you love the Lord. She said, I explained to him, have you ever heard this saying, the joy of the Lord is my strength? He said, no, where is that? Said, I told him it was in the Bible, and that's why I'm different. And I did not used to be this way. God has changed me. He's transforming me. As she shared a little bit of her testimony, he shared with her, I want to get back to my faith, and I really don't know how. I would like to know more about the gospel, as you told me. I said, well, after work, I'll be glad to share with you the gospel in a real way that's understandable, because it is life-changing. He was excited, and I am looking forward to sharing more about my faith with him. And that's how the night ended. She concluded her email. You see, it's not about standing in the back of a pickup truck and yelling, you're going to hell. It's not about condemning people. It's not about having the Roman road memorized. It's about allowing the salt and light in your life to overflow into a person's life who is in darkness and in trouble, loving them, being different. This young lady's email to a friend was not one to brag. It was not one to tell how much of an evangelist she was. She was just excited that people noticed a difference in her. And excited, they asked her, what is this difference? And as she asked about them, as she sought information about them, God made it possible for her to simply say, God has transformed my life. God has changed me. You see how she was working in her circle of influence. The same is true of us in our clubs, our organizations, in the places we go to meet with others, in our stores we frequent, with our family, our neighbors. It is about how we become the salt and light that transforms communities and transforms homes and transforms churches. As we begin to just share that God has changed us, that now I have a living hope, that now I have purpose, that now I know no matter what I go through in life, He's going to be with me. He's there. It's that confidence. It's that joy. It's that knowing that no matter who is against you, no matter what befalls you, He is for you. And He will lift you up. We know that people will experience Jesus' community when those who have truly experienced Jesus' help begins to help others in their life. We read that scripture, a city set on a hill cannot be hidden, nor does anyone set a light on a lamp and put it under a basket, but instead lift it high and put it on the lampstand so that it gives light to all who are in the house. Let your light shine before men in a way that they may see your good works and glorify your Father who is in heaven. I hope that if we've learned anything over these past few weeks, we've learned that loving the church isn't about the building. It's not about the programs. It's about relationships. Primarily our relationship with God, but also our relationship with one another. And it doesn't stop there. We also have to love those outside the walls of these church. A question sometimes asked, one which really needs to be asked by all churches, I think. If our church ceased to exist, would the neighborhood mourn? Would they say, no, you can't go? Or if we were to cease to exist, would the neighborhood even notice? And And I am convinced that we must be a church they would miss, not for our sakes or our own reputations, but because they are experiencing Jesus when they experience us. And I will tell you, as a Christian community of faith, we have so many ways that a person can get involved. We have so many ways where people can tangibly put their hands on ministry and loving each other and others and outside the church and building the kingdom community. There are so many ways that a person can connect and share the light of God's love with others to be that salt and light. We have a multitude of ways. Look in your bulletin, look at your newsletter, at all the things that are happening. And I will submit to you that at least since I've been here, I don't know of a single person that stepped out in faith and put their hands on a mission project, put their hands and got involved, has said to me, "Preacher, I wish I hadn't done it." Most of them will echo this. I received the blessing. I received the blessing. By blessing others, sharing the salt and light, God did something in me. Increased my faith, increased my love, gave me a greater perspective. And I would submit that he says, let them know your good works. Let them see your good works. I have a laundry list of things that I could share with you about what this church has done. But I have put a little block in the bulletin about how much you've given to missions, what we've done through the bridge, what we've done through the backpack ministry, what we've done with the garden and other things that this church has done. And I will tell you, we are salt and light. And we need to make our salt more savory. We need to make our light brighter. And in order to do that, we need every person connected. Connected. I know that each of us love God. People will say that. But let me share with you that our members who have given and most who have done missions will tell you they didn't know how they were going to do it. They didn't have time. They didn't have the extra cash. They didn't know how to do it. They felt like they were timid. They didn't know how they were going to step out. And each one of those who had this fear, each one of these who had this lack of knowledge, this lack of confidence, once they stepped out, once they gave, God did wonderful things in their life. They give testimony of how much closer they felt to God and how much more they felt like a Christian doing something for someone other than themselves, loving each other and loving others and loving the world like Jesus did. Many who have bills and commitments, and others didn't know how they were going to do it, but they did. Some of them didn't know where the time would come from, but they made time. You see, being salt and light takes the desire to do what God calls you to do. Not what you think you can do, but taking steps of faith toward being all that God has called you to do. I'm about to close. And I don't like to close on a downer. But I saw this quote that I wanted to present to you today. It's been said that Christians make horrible neighbors. Let that never be said of Cherry Point Baptist Church. And I pray it would never be said about one of our members. You see, this life begins with loving each other like God loves each other, like God loves each of us. It's about developing that love for people who don't have the salt and don't have the light in their lives. It's about getting up and doing something. It's about getting out of ourselves and stepping up to the plate and saying, Lord, whatever it is that you want me to do, I want to get connected and I want to be a part of being salt and light. think most people will find, it's not about the money. I'm not preaching a sermon because we need more money. This church is a giving church. I'm not even preaching the sermon because I want to build something else or do something. I'm preaching this sermon because if we love our church, then it will be manifested in our community. It'll be manifested in our presence. It'll be known by everyone. They'll know that this church loves God and loves this community. And the reason that's so important, I promise you this. Please hear me. When you take that step of faith and you do what God asks you to do, I promise you, you'll feel better. I promise you'll feel more confident in your hope. You'll feel more confident in your relationship with God. You'll feel more confident that God can use someone even like me, that I can do something for the kingdom of God and make a difference in somebody else's life. Because like the girl who was helping wash dishes, just being and listening and responding changed a life and lives. I hope this morning you've not seen this as a commercial for Cherry Point Baptist Church. It was not meant to be. But instead of a testimony of what God does in the lives of people who are salt and light, who love each other, who love our community, and we're not afraid to step out and let our good works be seen by those who need a Savior. Not for our glory, but for the glory of God. But first, before you even go to work in the kingdom, you need to know that you're a part of the kingdom. You need to know that if you're not a Christian, that it's very simple to become one. Christ is just calling you. He's calling you to open up the doors of your heart and allow Him to come in and ask Him to forgive you of your sins, and He will, the Bible says. And then ask Him to help you live this Christian life that He's called you to, and He will. And if you need to come this morning, take me by the hand, you come. You may have been going to church for years and never really accepted Christ. You come this morning, I know He will fill you with His love. And this morning I pray that as we close this service, that you'll say, Pastor, I give, I pray, but I've not really gotten involved that much. And I'm going to pray about what God wants me to do in the way of good works. And I promise you, as you follow His will and hear His voice, you will hear Him say, blessed are you. Let's stand and sing that hymn today. I need thee every hour, number 423. You come as